emphasis month this month, and so we are emphasizing missions in a grand way. We had our missions conference this week. If you missed it, shame on you. It was a good time. Amen. We are going to highlight a different mission work tonight. Where's he at? He left. He ran away. Okay. So, Brother Bella, as we brought him up and we were praying for him and the radio ministry, he has successfully got our radio started. So we now have Glory Baptist Radio. It's online. The only way to listen to it right now is to log into our system and play it. But it is live online right now playing. It's not playing the service tonight. We haven't figured that out yet. But it's playing music that we have queued in to play. Matter of fact, can you play it right now? It'll take a second. There we go. I think that's where it left off. That's interesting. Huh. It may be a little delayed on... It might hiccup and catch up in just a moment. But anyhow, that's our radio station. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn off. All right. Amen. So, anyhow, you might say, what in the world, what kind of mission is that? That is the goal for our radio station. The first goal is to bring glory to God. We're going to begin doing that by providing for our church folks and those that know us a solid radio station that plays good music. Good music that we approve of, that we believe is biblically good. Secondly, it is going to begin to provide content beyond just music. We'll begin to have little segments different days, maybe once a week for a particular segment, maybe once a day for some segments. We're going to end up creating segments that'll be on there to highlight different things. And as we grow our listenership, the plan is for it to really help with our church planting plans. And so it's going to be a free, well, not free, but it's going to be an inexpensive advertising tool to let other, because other people are going to find us as we spread out and start streaming in different places. We'll begin streaming on TuneIn Radio, so you can play it on your Alexa apps and things like that. Hope she's not listening to me now out there. But you can play it on various devices and so forth, and we'll get an app eventually someday. But it'll be playing on our church website hopefully before Sunday. So what that will do? A lot of people listen to KNVBC. I don't know, some of you, who's heard of KNVBC? All right, anybody heard of the Key FM? That's a less known one, but it's up in Hammond, First Baptist Church of Hammond's radio station. There's a few others and so forth, but as that expands, it will hopefully draw people who are interested in what we're doing here in Indianapolis with the Indy 100. Hopefully it will draw people who are interested in the various ministries that we have going on. Not that we want to take anybody from anywhere else that's, you know, if they're going to a good church somewhere. But it could draw interest so that they might jump on board and be a part of it, whether they want to financially support it or whether they want to be prayerfully support what we're doing. It's another thing that can be a blessing. Honestly, though, the biggest thing for me is we have a radio station I can listen to. I'm good with that. You know, there's a lot of times KNVBC's playing, I'm like, turn it off, just because I don't want to hear it. I don't like it. They're playing stuff that it's just not. Maybe it's not bad. It's just not my taste. And so, if that happens with our radio, I'll call Eric and say, hey, man, we need to change that, you know. And so, anyhow, so And our the software has the ability for us to do like a top 100 and make do like a day where you do your top 100 or has the ability to eventually take like data from our listeners, like I like this, I don't like this, and things like that. And so that can help us as well. So I do that with KNVBC a lot. Like they'll be playing something. I hardly ever do a thumbs up. It's always a thumbs down. And so I need to do thumbs ups too. But anyhow, the highlight for missions, by the way, and while I've been yakking about all this, you guys could have been given to missions. If you have something you'd like to give to missions, you can bring it up, put it in the missions box. But I think we could pray for our radio station. I know for some it might be, what's the point? Why are we doing this? But I hope I told you and you understand and you agree with why we're doing this, because we want to further our reach. And so somebody asked, how far does this radio station go? Anywhere the internet goes. And so if once we put it on our website, anybody in the world that can get to our website can listen to it. And then when you start putting it on other places, people find stuff on TuneIn. There's these different things. And then once we do that, it'll spread. It'll spread. We will get more listeners. Right now, our limit for listeners is 9,999,999. So it's unlimited. So that's good. That's a blessing. It currently is only costing us about one phone ring a day. And no, I'm just kidding. It's currently only costing us. Yeah, if you didn't put your phone on silent, go ahead and do that. It's currently costing us about $41 a month. So it might end up costing us more eventually. Hopefully, it will end up costing us more. That means that it's doing better. Means that we've got a bigger, larger amount of listeners, and it's probably supported financially and so on. And so, anyhow, y'all pray, and pray for Brother Bella as he spearheads that work. He has a lot of challenges in relation to the work itself and then his own personal things that he's dealing with. So be in prayer for him. And so as we open in prayer, we're going to pray for him. Pastor Adams, why don't you pray? Pray for Glory Baptist Radio and Eric Bella, our missionary to the radio world. Amen. 221. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns, all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich hues and visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wondering eye at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. Amen. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him give, from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. We thou, O Lord, through endless days, adored and magnified. Amen. That's good stuff. You may be seated. So our announcements here, the first one, I gave an announcement earlier during our missions moment. We have our radio station going, so praise the Lord for that. And we'll have lots of places that we'll be able to start pushing advertisement once it's live and everything. It's live, but once it's more readily publicly available. But our other announcement, which I could have mentioned during our missions moment, but is your faith promise cards. Please take a look at your faith promise cards and pray how the Lord would have you to give and how the Lord would have you to increase your giving for missions. So today we sent $100 to the tent fund over at Victory Baptist. By faith I sent it, just expecting that we'll give toward it, and if we don't, I guess it's just going to come out of general. But that is hopefully the plan is to have five people give $5 a week toward that, so that it's offset, so that we can cover that cost. That'll go toward the tent fund for the tent meeting coming up this year, and then or this next year. So for your faith promise, we're praying that the Lord will increase that this year. I kind of have a number in my mind that I'm praying about, that the Lord would increase it to that number at least. We'll see how that happens, whether that happens or not. So I'm not going to tell you what the number is, and I'm ashamed to say that it's probably not as much as I should be praying that we'll increase it to. But it is more than what we were giving last year. So just be in prayer that the Lord will give us the faith to promise to give what He would have us to give. Amen. So I will say that for as far as faith promise is concerned, if we get as Brother Wilkerson said last year, if we can get our hearts on God's big world, He'll get His heart on our little world. And so I have seen God do things that I've not seen Him do otherwise in relation to faith promise and in relation to missions giving. And there's a lot we could talk about. We could talk about how God deals with it directly, as financially takes care of things when we do that. But also our personal growth. By the way, it's not always you give to missions and you're rolling in the dough. Sometimes you give to missions and you're struggling financially because you're giving to missions, but you're growing in your ability to handle what you have left over. That's a blessing from God, to be able to strengthen yourself and your abilities and grow in that way. And so, anyhow, be in prayer on that. And then we have a missionary coming next week. He's a missionary of the Philippines. He'll be here next Thursday night with us on Pastor Adam's birthday. And so we called him in all the way from the Philippines to celebrate Pastor Adam's birthday. we were trying to figure out a date, and he said, "How about November 10th? And I said, "That's my assistant pastor's birthday." He said, "Well, we can do a different day." I said, "No, it's perfect." And so, yeah, I did. He's your personal missionary to support. I'm just kidding. But he'll be here with us next week. That'll be a blessing. Tomorrow is the youth rally. Y'all pray I can make it back to Indianapolis in time for the youth rally. I'm traveling up near Chicago tomorrow, so y'all pray that I can make it back in time. And I had an offer for another claim to be added, and I was like, nope, sorry. So anyhow, other things going on. We also have Simple Steps tomorrow evening at 7. See Brother Ramsey for details on that. The Sunday or Saturday morning Bible study at Happy Days with Pastor Gimlick. And then bus visitation at 10, and canvassing, etc. at 2. And so be in your places for those things. Amen. And then after that, we all change our clocks or let our phones change our clocks or whatever it is. But we fall back Saturday night, and it's not on your bulletin to remind you because most of us don't have to think about it anyways. Our phones just do it. And so you fall back and show up at the right time for church. Amen. And we'll enjoy a good time together for the Lord's Day. Amen. See Brother Travis about getting yourself signed up on the fasting calendar. And what? You got it? Amen. There you go. Amen. Amen. So, just to kind of recap, you're not writing your name on there. You just put a mark. Don't cross the date out, though, because that's how we know that, yeah. Yep. There you go. Something like that. Just put your mark. Don't write your name. That way everybody can privately fast, and we cover all the days. Amen. All right. So, that'll be here in right now. Let's all ready ourselves for to worship the Lord in giving. And we'll have our helpers come help us with that. Brother Travis, you go ahead and lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today, Lord. We thank you for our opportunity to come back and hear your word preached, and our opportunity to get back to your word to bestow upon us, Lord. And God, I pray that you may make a good ambassador for the work you set before us. God, help us to get back to the work that you set here, Lord, and just for blessing us so, Lord, as you commanded us to do, Lord. We pray that we may be obedient to all the things that you've told us and commanded us, God. And I just pray that you may bless us all for tonight and bless the giver. And pray for more laborers for the work, Lord. Give us a burden for the lost, Lord, to help see souls saved. And Lord, I just pray that you may make yourself known tonight and help us to be encouraged by each other and by your word. And pray that you may answer our prayers and that you may be glorified all we do. Pray for you. Amen. Amen.
Hymn number 220, He Leadeth Me. If you still have your hymnal open, you just turn back a page. Hymn number 220. Think about the words of this song as you sing it. 220. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, whole words with heavenly comfort brought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Amen. Y'all ready to sing that next verse? Think about what we just sang. Anybody get lost? Did you get lost? You waiting for Him to lead you? Amen. Amen. Sometimes, mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes, where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still, or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. That's the song, that's the verse you just sang, in case you fell asleep. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Amen. Think about that. That is good stuff. He leadeth me. You know, that song reminds me of Exodus, there when Moses was just, it was a rough time. Moses just came down from the mountain and the Israelites were being brats, and they were murmuring. Well, they weren't murmuring yet, but they started some murmuring. But they were down there, they were having a rock concert, and they were fornicating, and they were sinning against God, and they were worshiping idols and all this, and God was going to destroy them. And Moses said, "Hold on, take me." But then Moses goes through a rough time. You know, it's a failure, a loss. It's loss of the confidence of the people he's leading, and the work that God's called him to do. It seems to be failing. He comes down out of a mountaintop experience to the children of Israel, and he is absolutely depressed, absolutely whooped. and maybe rightfully so, in a sense. If anybody had a reason to be upset at that moment, it was Moses. If any human being would have a reason, and he said, for Israel's sake, he said, you know, if you won't, he says, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And he says, hey, I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to send an angel to lead you, but I'm going to come whoop them. And we see some things that happen, we see Moses kind of coming up to the Lord, and he's like, you know, it says in verse number 12 of chapter 33, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Amen. And then Moses says, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I like that. That's obviously, we want to do what God wants us to do, but just as important as doing what God's called us to do and what God wants us to do, it's just as important that He's the one that leads us through it. It's easy for us. We're good. Some of us are real good workers. And it's easy for us to say, amen, God wants us to do this. Shoulder to the plow, let's get it done. But we got to realize that we need to depend on Him. We got to realize that He needs to be the one that leads us. Guess what happens when we put our shoulder to the plow and get it done? Oftentimes we burn out. We get worn out. We quit. We get depressed because it's not happening the way that it ought to happen. But if we know the one that's leading us, and we're close to the one that's leading us, and He's carrying us up, He's carrying our burdens, and yea, even carrying us, that's good stuff. He leadeth me. Doesn't matter what you're going through. You notice there were some things mentioned there. Sorry, song sermon here. We'll get to our text here for our message in just a moment. You notice the things that are mentioned here. Oh, blessed thought that He leads me, right? Those are words with heavenly comfort. Whatever I do and wherever I be, 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. I hope you can sing. I hope you sang that honestly and you weren't just lying through your teeth. Hey, even in times of deepest gloom, or when you've got flowers blooming so beautifully that it's like, this is from Eden. Wow. Even so, in the beautiful times and in the gloomy times, over still waters or a troubled sea, His hand still leadeth me. Sometimes we have to be reminded of that third verse to clasp our hand in His and stop murmuring and be content whatever lot we see. And then, when it's all said and done, when our task on earth is done, and by His grace the victory is won. Even death's cold wave, we're not running from it.
Woo!
Amen? Because God, through Jordan, leads us. Y'all know the picture. Jordan is the Death Sea. The Death River, rather. You cross over Jordan from this life into the promised land, into the promised heaven. Amen? All right, grab your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 4. Oh, no. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and stand with me, please. John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, please stand. Give everybody a moment to stand. I'll get a little drink of water here. Amen. My brother S.M. Davis, when he would preach, he had a glass of water. He said, when I take a little drink, you say amen. When I take a big drink and just keep on going, you say hallelujah. And when I finish it, which you can't tell with that, you know, but it was a glass of water. He said, when I finish it, you say glory. Anyhow, that was at a youth rally. He did that one time. Anyhow, John chapter number 1, John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. We're at verse number 2 now. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for our study here. We pray, Lord, that you just guide our study, guide our little bit of discussion here and there. But we pray, Father, that you just be honored and glorified in our presence, Lord, that we might recognize your presence, listen to your word, and obey it. We pray, Father, your blessing upon it now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight we begin our lecture on the church and the kingdom of God. You might say, if you've got the book, you might say, where was this text in that? It wasn't. I just believe the Lord wanted me to read that as our opening text. And you're going to see how that's going to apply as we go through this study. And so we're going to make as much ground as we can in a short time tonight. So historically, the quote-unquote universal church concept developed when the church of God, as defined in the New Testament, was equated with the kingdom of God. This is when church and state became the same thing. It is important to recognize that that is not what God was trying to do. He was not trying to put that together. That's the way it was for Israel. And during this age, that is not the way it is. It is not that way until the kingdom age. And so, much of the present misunderstanding over the New Testament doctrine of the church has also come about through a failure to differentiate between ecclesia and basilia, which is church and kingdom. There is a difference, and it makes a difference. A big difference. Life or death difference, actually, for many, many centuries. The purpose of this lecture is going to be to scripturally define the kingdom of God and study the its relationship to the New Testament church. So number one we're going to look at is, what is the kingdom of God? And so we may only cover number one today. We'll see. Probably not. We might cover part of number two. We're on page 575. The kingdom of God is a major theme of the New Testament. It's important. It's a major theme of the New Testament. The word kingdom is defined as the power or authority of a king, a realm or a domain over which this extends. Does that make sense? So the realm or domain over which the power or authority of a king extends. Therefore, the kingdom of God is both the rule of God and the extent of His rule. All right? Now, we'll get into some of the various applications of the kingdom of God and what the Bible means by that as we go along here. But letter A, or the first point here under what is the kingdom of God, is it is also called the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of God is also called the kingdom of Christ. And I know there are some who believe that kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are different things. Maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe we won't. All right. Ephesians 5:5 says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto," or into rather, "the kingdom of his dear Son." 2 Peter 1:11 says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The kingdom of God is also called the kingdom of Christ. It is also called the kingdom of heaven. The term kingdom of heaven is peculiar to, or particular to, the Gospel of Matthew, and for this reason, some would seek to distinguish it from the kingdom of God. A comparison of parallel references in the three Gospels shows the two terms to be interchangeable. I know there's actually a book written. Not that I say that you should look it up and try to read it. There's actually a book trying to prove the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. But if you compare Matthew 4:17, Mark 1, matter of fact, we might just real quick do a couple of comparisons. Matthew 4. Tell you what, somebody, let's see, Travis, turn to Matthew 4:17. Pastor Adams, turn to Mark 1:14-15. Let's see here. Where's Brother Wilhelm? Man, homesick. I'm homesick too. Let's see here. Brother Ramsey, won't you turn to Luke 4:43-44? Are you there, Brother Travis?
Yes.
All right. Matthew 4:17. What's it say? "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Brother, Pastor Adams. Amen. Luke 4:43-44, what's it say? A different Luke. There is no different Luke. Different place in Luke. Okay, Luke chapter 4. First Luke. Well, Acts is written by Luke also. Go ahead. Amen. Is that 43 and 44 both? All right. Amen. Difference? Same thing. All right, let's see here. Who else has a Bible, a King James Bible that can read? Brother, Pastor Gimlick, turn to Matthew 5:3. Brother Dombrowski, turn to Luke 6:20. And I know this is going to be bad for the recording because nobody can hear them as they read. So if you're watching online, look it up for yourself. Pause it. And read it, and then play. There you go. All right. So, Matthew 5:3. You got it? All right. Let's hear it. All right. Luke 6:20. Whoa, wait a minute. Did you just say the same thing? Yeah, he did. I mean, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Not exact same thing, but it's they're parallels. All right. All right. Who can read for? Ladies can read too. It's okay. You're not preaching. Just read the text. Matthew 8:11. Can I get a volunteer? My wife. Matthew 8:11 and Luke 13:28-29. Anybody else? We got one here. You can do the next one. You can look up Matthew 10:7, and brother Ramsey, you raised your hand. Luke 9:2. Okay. I've got two more passages. Do I have two more people? Brother Bella, you're going to read Matthew 11:11. Anybody else? Brother Travis, you've got Luke 7:28. All right. So, who was reading for me Matthew 8:11? Amen. Luke 13:28-29. Oh, it's all right. We got another person who's got that problem too. I'm just kidding. He turned to the wrong Luke. Luke 13:28. I'm just messing with you, brother. We love you. 28 verse 28 and 29. Amen. Read for us again Matthew 8:11, because I was yakking and we probably forgot what that said. Read for us. Okay. Is that an interchangeable use? Is he saying the same thing, just interchanging kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven? Okay. Who had Matthew 10:7? Sister Gimli?
As you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen. Well, see, I said we don't have to preach, and I just had her say I'm just messing with you. Preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Anyhow, Luke 9:2. Who had Luke 9:2? There you go. Matthew 11:11. Brother Bella. Luke 7:28. Who had that? Yep. Amen. All right. I think that was a good sampling. On your own, you can look up the following passages. There are, 6 other comparisons. We're not going to do all that tonight. But Matthew 11:12 compared with Luke 16:16. Matthew 13:31 compared with Mark 4:30-31. If your Bible has 30 chapters in Mark, it's not a Bible. Throw it away. Luke, 30 chapters in Mark, no. Second Mark, yeah, no. Also compared with Luke 13:18-19. Matthew 13:33 compared with Luke 13:20-21. And Matthew 18:3-4 compared with Mark 10:15 and Luke 18:17. As well as, here we have Matthew 19:14 compared with Mark 10:14 and Luke 18:16, and then we have Matthew 19:23 compared with Mark 10:23-24, as well as Luke 18:24. You say, what in the world was all that? Well, that was a bunch of passages. They're parallel passages, you saying the same thing, but the only differences are kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. We good? Was anybody taught that the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are two different things? Nobody? Okay. That's not a thing. It's not a thing at all. It's not a thing. Did you listen to the opening? Stop it. Letter C. It's preaching. The preaching of the kingdom began with John the Baptist. It began with John the Baptist. In Luke 16:16, it says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 12 says, "And from those days, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." According to Mark 1, verses 1 through 4, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ coincided with the beginning of John's ministry. He was the first gospel preacher, the first to herald the kingdom and his king, or rather the king and his kingdom. Who was that? For those of you paying attention, who was the first? John the Baptist. Very good. All right, number two. Hey, we're doing good on time. Number two, who makes up the kingdom of God? Who are the people who make up the kingdom of God? Bless you. If the kingdom of God is the rule and realm of God, who or what are His subjects? Amen. A systematic study of the Scriptures teaches the following, that the kingdom of God must be entered. There are 16 New Testament references about entering the kingdom of God. We're not going to reference every one of them. However, we are going to mention a few things about that. It must be entered. There are requirements for the entrance into the kingdom. First says having a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. Several passages. There's a passage that declares that, and then there are passages that describe how that works. Righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, which is not humanly possible. That only takes place if you have imputed righteousness. And their righteousness wasn't enough because it has to exceed their righteousness. Now, the second requirement for entrance here is doing the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? That you believe on the Son. That's the passages are all in your text there, or in your book if you want to look those up. letter C, requirements for entrance. You must be converted. Matthew 18:3. The next one, you must be born again. Our original text, John 3. And the last one here, requirements for entrance into the kingdom, must be translated from the power of darkness. Colossians 1. Sounds like you got to be saved, huh? Amen. Hindrances to entrance. Now, hold on. Let me pause for a second. There is a difference between God's kingdom in this age and God's kingdom during the millennial kingdom age, what we call it, the millennial kingdom. Not millennial as in, like, you know, people who were born between 1980 and 2000. We're talking about the millennial kingdom. That's 1,000 years that Christ will reign on earth physically in person from the throne of David in Jerusalem. That will be different. Every single person on the planet will be subject to that kingdom, including all of the people who come from heaven with Him. So that will be those who were basically mentioned just now, and then it will be those who survived, the Jews who survived the tribulation. Number two, besides, it must be entered, so there are requirements for entrance and there are hindrances to entrance. First hindrance to entrance is trusting in riches. Can't trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Religion is the second one. You cannot trust in religion to enter the kingdom of God. The third is sin. That's a hindrance to entrance. You can't get in if you've got sin. What? Yeah, it's all got to be under the blood. Your sin must be washed away by the blood of Christ. It must be removed from you in order to enter the kingdom of God. Pride will keep you from entering the kingdom of God, because God resists the proud. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Right now it is a spiritual kingdom. Every believer enters the kingdom of God at the instant of regeneration. On the other hand, unregenerate hearts do not belong to this kingdom. Letter B. And this is letter B under who makes up the kingdom. First of all, it must be entered. Secondly, it must be received. As Mark 10:15, Luke 18:17, and Hebrews 12:28 say, the kingdom of God is a voluntary kingdom. No coercion is applied, as is often the case in the kingdoms of man. Right? It's a little different here in America. A lot of people want to try to get into this country, right? A lot of people from outside the country are like, I want to go to America. I want to be an American. But in history, most of history, America is pretty recent. In most of history, kingdoms were, you know, you were either forced into the kingdom by birth, right? Or you were forced into the kingdom by the sword. So, the next point, letter C. It is at hand. It is at hand. Several passages dealing with that. The kingdom of God is a convenient kingdom. Requiring no long journey to reach it, or lifelong quest to find it. It has no closed borders. It is nigh unto all men who seek it. You don't have to work to get into the kingdom. You just believe. Letter D, it must be inherited. It must be inherited. Are we okay? We good? Amen. All right. Whoa, amen. Hallelujah. We can't see their house anyways, right? Amen? Oh, okay, good. All right, amen. It must be inherited. The kingdom of God is not anyone's by right of natural birth. Only those who are washed, sanctified, and justified will inherit the kingdom of God, as 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11 says. Letter E, it requires faith. When Christ spoke of the children of the kingdom being cast out or thrust out, He was referring to His own people, the Jews, the children of the present kingdom. The then present kingdom. The nation of Israel had received all the opportunities, but so many of them had missed the one necessary thing. You can look at Luke. We'll look at Luke 13 real quick here. Luke 13. And verse number 27. But He shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. These are those of the first kingdom. Tried to make it in on their own. I'm going to look at Matthew 7:21 real quick here. If you get there by the time I read it, great, good for you. Matthew 7:21-23 says, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Notice here. What are they referring to get them into heaven, to get them into the kingdom? Their works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It requires faith. The kingdom of God is unassailable. It cannot be entered by any other way than through the straight gate. Jesus said, the violent take it by force. And in Luke 16:16, every man presseth into it. The words translated violent and press come from the same Greek word biazo, to use violence or to assault, and refer to the vain attempts of the self-righteous to force their way into God's kingdom. And you know what? It looks like they're in His kingdom during this life, but when the time comes for it to be tested, they will be cast out. Letter F, it embraces service to the King. It embraces service to the King. It being the subjects. It embraces service to the King. It is to be subject, it is to be the subject of teaching and preaching. We are to be fellow helpers with those who preach the kingdom of God. According to Luke chapter 9, verse number 57 through 60, we must be totally committed to Christ and the gospel. We cannot look back. A plowman could only produce straight furrows by setting his sights on some far distant landmark and heading for it. If he continually looked back to see how he was doing, he would plow all over the place. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We serve. Now, we're not serving to get in the kingdom. We're serving because we're in the kingdom. Letter G here. And this is the last one of point two. And let's see here. We're going to finish this lecture tonight. Started it tonight. We might go ahead and do point three. We're moving along pretty well. All right. The mysteries of the kingdom. Well, maybe not. Start talking about mysteries. It might take us a while. The kingdom of God has mysteries. Various passages deal with that. Matthew 13:11, Mark 4:11, Luke 8:10. A mystery is defined in, or rather, the term, the concept mystery is defined in Romans chapter number 16, verses 25 and 26, as truth. The mystery is truth not revealed in the Old Testament that is now revealed in the New Testament. That's what we're talking about when we talk about these mysteries. What is it? So the mystery of the kingdom. These mysteries are given in the parables of the kingdom, found chiefly in the Gospel of Matthew, but also in Mark and Luke. The truth that was not explicitly revealed in the Old Testament was the spiritual nature of God's kingdom. Think about this. Y'all, pay attention for a minute here. I know you've been paying attention the whole time, right? Think about this. Israel was looking for the Messiah to come and set up the physical kingdom. They were looking for Jesus to come, not Jesus, but they were looking for the Messiah to come and to kick Rome out and move in on the throne of David and say, this is my kingdom. And the kingdom that was prophesied and all of that, that will happen eventually. But that's not what He came for the first time. He came to bring the spiritual kingdom. because Israel had already tried to receive the physical kingdom, but they were unwilling to receive the spiritual kingdom. And that's why the Messiah came to bring that, because that is necessary in order to be in the physical kingdom. But right now, it's a spiritual kingdom. That's what they got wrong. That was the mystery of the Old Testament. They were of the Old Testament saints of Israel of old. The mystery was that there's this there's a kingdom coming, one that you won't see, one that you won't be able to have an army that raises up, one that you're not going to have. You're not going to fight in that sense. Remember when Jesus said, "If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight?" Right? That's why he said to Peter, "Put up your sword." And he picked the guy's ear up and put it back on. Because we're not here to fight physically in that kingdom. Remember, we were talking, Brother Cole preaching on Sunday about the battle that's taking place. The assault against the kingdom of God. That assault is done by the devil, and it's done by the religious and the folks that press into it or attack it by force. It's an assault that still we must battle. We must fight in this battle. But it's not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle, just like it is a spiritual kingdom. The Old Testament prophets foretold the glorious earthly kingdom of Christ. This is the millennial kingdom. This is the kingdom that is to come. The present, invisible, intangible form of it was a mystery. Right? Anybody ever seen the chart? It's a Larkin's chart of the mountaintops of prophecy. Anybody ever seen that before? Okay, my wife, that's all. Okay. So there's a chart, and it's got a prophet standing over here, and he's looking across the prophecies that God gives in the Old Testament. You're looking across these mountaintops of prophecies. As you're looking across these mountaintops of prophecies, you're seeing these prophecies that are revealed in the Old Testament, and all he's seeing is the tops of the mountains. But then there are these other aspects of the prophecies that are revealed down here in the valleys that are further explained in the New Testament. Does that make sense? So they're seeing, and those are mysteries because he can't see. Anybody ever been in the mountains before? You can only see what's up there. Unless you're on the top, then you can see what's down there. But you can only see down one valley. You can't see down the valley of the next mountain. Because there's a mountain in the way. That's the way timeline works, too. You can't see past the next minute because there's a minute in the way. Right? There's something. There are events that have to take place to get to the next events. And so sometimes you're blinded by that, or it is a mystery to you. And it could not be perceived. So in the parables of the kingdom, the key words, like and as. Did I skip something here? Hold on. Intended form, the true kingdom of God is not seen in an outward form, but in the hearts of men. And only God knows His true subjects. The parables of the kingdom, the key word is like or likened, right? He says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, or it's like this. These parables describe the perceived appearance or manifestation of the kingdom of God during the course of this present age. One of the major themes of these parables of the kingdom is that there are two spheres of this kingdom. The sphere of profession, religious profession, and the sphere of regenerate possession. The parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew chapter 13 illustrates this. Within the present form of the kingdom of God, there is a counterfeit look-alike kingdom. The children of the kingdom, its rightful heirs, the Jews, are cast out because of their Christ rejection. Another major theme of these parables is the abnormal growth of the kingdom in its outward appearance. Outward appearance. The parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the hidden leaven, illustrate this aspect. Okay? Anybody ever read those parables and you're like, huh? What is he saying here? Go to Matthew 13:33. I'm sorry, no, Matthew 13:31. Y'all still with me? All right. Matthew 13:31. Seems like I'm plowing a little bit tonight. Matthew 13:31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Isn't that interesting that he says the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like this little bitty seed you put in the ground and then it becomes this big old thing. Wait a minute, didn't he say few? Didn't he say not very many? He did. Verse number 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Like, almost like the whole world or something? Like a massive number of people? Like, it almost seems like a vast majority of people are religious in this world. Doesn't it? Seems like maybe not a vast majority, but it seems like a large number, right? There's the Catholics, or you got like, what, a billion or so of them? You know, you've got the quote-unquote Protestants, which they try to lump the Baptist into. There are about 14,000 Baptist churches here in America. About 13,000 Baptist churches here in America. And that's actually 13,000 Baptist churches that consider themselves to be independent fundamental. 13,000. And if there's five members in each one, that's quite a few people. I'm sure there's more than five, but anyhow, this parable is explaining that appearance factor, right? Like these movies like Left Behind and things like that, and it's like millions and millions, billions of people raptured out of the world. Billions, you know, a couple billion people or something, like there's that many that are actually truly saved. It might look that way. But many try to enter in the wrong way. Where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? We're going to real quick. No, you know what? We'll talk about where the kingdom of God is next week. About killed somebody. What? Next week. You have to wait till next week to find out where it is. Yep. Where's it at? Next week. Next week. Yes. You know what? Yeah, let's do a couple seconds here, question and answer. Man, somebody took my pencil. Anybody have a pencil? I've got pens. I don't know where my pencil went. All right, we can cut the live feed and we'll do Q&A here real quick. What's up?